Middle East on the brink. North Korea on the brink. Iran increasing its aggression. Elections in Taiwan. Look, there's a lot of global instability as we ourselves plunge into primary season. How have you sheltered your savings and investments from potential major setbacks to the economy? You think it can happen here? It can happen here, but it's not too late to diversify an old IRA or 401k into gold. And Birch Gold Group can help you with that. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. As opposed to many other investments, gold thrives in times of uncertainty. It is an important part of diversifying your savings. Now listen, here's how Birch Gold can help make it a part of yours. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. And it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. You want to learn more? Just text SAVAGE to 989898 for a free info kit. SAVAGE, text it to 989898 and you get a free info kit. It costs you nothing. Just text SAVAGE to 989898. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers, I encourage you to arm yourself with the knowledge of diversification through precious metals. Protect yourself. Text SAVAGE to 989898 and claim your free info kit. Protect your savings with gold. Do it now. Text SAVAGE to 989898. Thank you very much. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. Text SAVAGE to 989898.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
So coming down on the airplane today, I picked up a couple of newspapers, which I don't read anymore, and I may as well be reading Pravda or Izvestia in the Soviet Union. The reason we all stop reading newspapers, we know that they're so twisted to the left that they're not worth reading. And so you have to deconstruct the newspaper as you read it. So we open with the Wall Street Journal. Yellen backs off comment on rates and inflation. Treasury chief doesn't foresee a problem, but says Fed has tools if price pressure builds. This is after she predicted that inflation is occurring. Everyone knows inflation is occurring. So because she said the truth, now she had to walk it back and backed off her comments. She's a liar. This is how she got the job. This is how she's kept the job. This is who she is. She's a paid liar. She runs the Federal Reserve Bank. And she says that the Federal Reserve should raise interest rates because of Biden's spending plans. All of a sudden, no, I didn't say that. She's no different than Fauci. They're professional paid liars. They're criminals. That's story number one. Business and finance. Pfizer raises vaccine forecast. Sure, because pimps like Fauci are pushing it on infants now. And now drug maker expects $26 billion in sales from treatment, up 73% from earlier. I think they should consider giving the vaccination to corpses as well and disinter people out of graveyards because they also could pose a threat to society. Do you have any idea how much of this is about business? I do. Here's USA Today. We all know what that is. USA Away, I've called it for years. Biden aims for 70% vaccinated by July 4th. Really, does he now? Biden aims for, oh, you're such a great Biden. He knows what's going on. Biden aims. A genius who knows everything. Proud Boys reap funds from Asian Americans. They're trying to conflate the attacks on Asian Americans to the Proud Boys when everyone knows that most of the attacks are occurring from African Americans, not from right wingers. But this is so sick that it's worth reading. Extremist group profits from fears of people who fled leftist regimes. What do you mean fears? You morons, you. They don't have fears. They have real founded knowledge of what leftist regimes do. The donations started coming in around 10 p.m. on December 17th. A donor named Li Zhang gave $100. A few minutes later, someone named Jun Li donated $100. Then Hao Zhu gave $20, followed shortly by $25 from Ying Pi. In all, almost 1,000 people with Chinese surnames. Isn't that racist of the USA Today to make a note of race? or ethnicity. They don't do it when it comes to African Americans beating people up, especially attacking Asians. But now suddenly Chinese surnames are an issue now for this idiot. Gave about $86,000 to a fundraiser on the crowdfunding platform Give Send Go for members of the extremist street gang, the Proud Boys. I would say the street gang that's versus the Biden street gang. And then they go on, but Proud Boys stabbed, members of the Proud Boys stabbed during clashes in Washington. This is for medical costs for members of the Proud Boys stabbed during clashes in Washington mid-December. Now, who stabbed them? Extremist leftist groups, you schmuck, you. Why would people from China, Hong Kong, and Taiwan, and members of the Chinese American community donate to an organization with ties to white supremacists, whose members flash white power signals and post racist memes on social media, asks the ass who wrote this. Well, the answer is because they fled communist China and they know what leftists lead to. We know America is under attack from communism, you asses, because you are the communists that they're running from. Any other questions? New York Times now. Pandemic sped sharp decline in U.S. births. We don't know whether that's good or bad. Long trend of delaying pregnancy continues. Wouldn't that be good for the people who want America to disappear? Just bring in immigrants from Honduras and Guatemala and never see America again? As vaccinations slow, Biden adjusts strategy toward local response. Biden adjusts strategy. That's a joke. Targeting the young and the reluctant. Targeting the young and reluctant. Are you listening to that? Targeting the young and reluctant. You know, there's a movie, Scarface, from years ago. Actually, it's a great movie. I watch it a lot of times. I've seen it many times. And the Al Pacino character, Tony Montana. So he came in during the Mariel boat invasion from Cuba when Castro allegedly emptied his jails of criminals to get rid of them. And they came to Miami. So Tony Montana is the gangster character in Scarface, played by Al Pacino. There's a very telling line where the Al Pacino character says, "No, Ming, I hated communism. They always tell you what to do. I hated communism, man. They always tell you what to do, man. That's why I fled communism. They always tell you what to do." That's Biden adjusting the strategy toward local response, targeting the young and the reluctant. If that is not exactly what Tony Montana was warning us about, as well as Fauci, as well as the others in the government lecturing us on race and ethnicity and our lives. Tell me, what is communism, you morons, you?
We're going to talk about the myth of white privilege and who is pushing it. It's in the news everywhere you turn. Headline, Coca-Cola pauses aggressive diversity plan after chief lawyer resigns. So they took a moron in based on diversity, who then almost destroyed the company. And then they fired him because there was such a blowback against him. But wait, it gets worse. This moron was hired. He destroyed the company with this attack on white people. But they didn't just fire him. They've kept him on as a consultant to Coca-Cola. In that position, this racist pig will be making a $12 million bailout, which includes a $4 million sign-on fee and a monthly consulting fee of $666,666 a month, according to an April 21 securities filing. What is this jerk's name? Grayton or Gayton. How did they hire someone as stupid as this, who would put his own racism ahead of the company? How? That's what's going on in America today. And this is why we are attacking the myth of white privilege. And this is, the Coca-Cola is not alone on this. Many employees are being forced to sit through this communist, racist rubbish. In February, employees at Coca-Cola were urged to be, quote, less white. Can you imagine people coming to work and be told to be less black, less Asian, less Hispanic, or less gay? Of course not. They'd scream to high heaven. The company would be sued. But apparently white people are fair game to these cowardly corporations. It was a course called Confronting Racism. Are you listening to this? And the soft drink titan Coca-Cola used it. And the first slide says, and I quote now, "In the United States and other Western nations, white people are socialized to feel that they are inherently superior because they are white," reads one of the racist slides. sent from an internal whistleblower and posted on Twitter. Can you imagine being forced to watch slides which say to you, quote, try to be less white, with such tips such as be less oppressive, believe and break with white solidarity? Can you imagine black people sitting through try to be less black, break with black solidarity? My friends, this is an example of why you have to fight back and not let them do this to you. Can you imagine doing this to people? Well, it's happening in this country, not only at Coca-Cola, but across the American landscape. By the way, these policies violate Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which says employers cannot treat people differently based on their race. Are you listening to this? As a result of this, Coca-Cola says they're withdrawing this stupidity. But this is all a result of racial diversity. You know that. I've said to you for years, first they're going to hire people that are unqualified, and then when they get in and can't keep up or do the job, they'll scream racism, and then they'll try to brainwash everyone into thinking that they are the ones who are inferior, not them intellectually. And by the way, since I'm talking about that, write this one down. There is no such thing as white superiority. What they're confusing it with is the fact that, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's a fact, maybe 97 or 98% of all the inventions on Earth were invented by white males. Write that one down. Now, hold on now. I can list all the inventions for you, but you'll say, wait a minute, that's because people of color or others were kept down. Were they? Who kept them down? No, my friends, there may be another reason or other reasons, which I'm pretty sure you can figure out for yourself. The last straw for me was when I saw these morons, these affirmative action dunces, saying that Isaac Newton's studies of gravity were an example of white privilege or racism or something like that. Do you realize how crazy this is? Do you want to step into an airplane and have a moron who's flying who doesn't know how to fly, who can't read the gauges? That's what you're going to get when you realize that there are people teaching that math is racist, that 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4. It was invented by white people. Be very careful what's going on in this country. And if you don't stand up to it, don't blame me because I've tried to. Now settle back like the good children that you are and listen to someone who makes sense. And just remember, the next time you hear anyone spout this off, say to them you're going to sue them and the company because they're violating Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Stand up and be counted as an American or you're going to roll over as a person from China. Or worse yet, from the ex-Soviet Union, you'll be exiled in your own country. It starts with this. It doesn't end with this.
I need to take a break and have a cup of coffee. This is Michael Savage. Thanks for listening.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Why don't we listen to what I have stated about so-called white privilege and reparations in the past and see what you think of that. We hear that the Black Lives Matter movement, for example, can't even say that. All the bullets are out. All the guns are aimed now. I said the words Black Lives Matter. All the left is ready to report what I'm about to say. We hear that the Black Lives Matter movement is about grievances and slavery. Is it? 150 years ago? Do you know anyone who owned slaves? I am an immigrant's son. You want to hear my white privilege? I'll tell it to you one day. I don't have any. And how do you explain the fact that some people of color come over to this country and within one generation are doing very well indeed? How do you explain that? How do you explain these things? How do you explain that the left says they're knocking over the statues of racists? Well, let's look into that. Let's look at Robert E. Lee himself. Robert E. Lee said, if Virginia stands by the old Union, so will I. He was ready to lead the Union Army. Did you know that? He was Lincoln's first pick to lead the Union Army. I know most of you leftists don't even know what the Union Army was, because you're really not after racists. You're after America. But Robert E. Lee said, if Virginia stands by the old Union, so will I. But if she secedes, then I will follow my native state with my sword and, if need be, with my life. He did not support slavery. Indeed, Robert E. Lee said, it was a moral and political evil in any country, and freed his own slaves before emancipation. He did not consider secession to be the constitutional right of any state, but he had been reared to the belief that his principal loyalty lay with Virginia. But what about the great hero Abraham Lincoln himself? Many of the fools out there think Lincoln fought the Civil War to free the slaves. That's the popular notion. That is not true. That's not true at all. Because I'll read you, I will read to you Lincoln's words, his own words. This is from an important book on history. The differences that had provoked the American Civil War were given public voice during the presidential election of 1860. Imagine that. There was actually a debate, and it was won by the Republican candidate, Abraham Lincoln. He was a Republican, by the way. Slavery had been an issue of the election, but the principal debate had been on the right claimed by the South of individual states to secede from the Union. In his inaugural address on March 4th, 1861, listen to what Lincoln said. He made it abundantly clear that he sought only to prevent the extension of slavery to the territories, great areas to the West that had yet to be granted statehood. The new president, Lincoln, observed the following. I have no purpose directly or indirectly to interfere with the institution of slavery in states where it exists. I believe I have no lawful right, as I have no inclination to do so. So he was really fighting the Civil War to prevent the Union from being broken up. Really, it was all about money. It was about the industrial North not wanting the agricultural South to secede from the Union. You understand that? It's very important you understand that, because you're going to start knocking over statues with this herd mentality. You got to understand that it's got nothing to do with the issue of racism. It's got to do with the issue of America itself.
We will be right back with more on this.
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So the racist, psychotic mayor of New York, instead of stopping the shootings in Harlem, the murders in the streets after defunding the police, has the audacity to go out in the streets with a bunch of radicals, including that grifter, Al Sharpton, and paint Black Lives Matter in the street, on the street, on the pavement. Now, in some cities, people have changed some of the letters in Black Lives Matter to All Lives Matter. People who have done that are being charged with a hate crime. Now, first of all, how can a hate crime apply to an inanimate object? It can't. It was never written to provide an extra charge directed at an inanimate object. That's number one. But one would say that that's free speech, isn't it? I don't understand where you people are coming from. If you are painting Black Lives Matter on a public thoroughfare, to many people that is vandalism. It is vandalism because it is a public thoroughfare. It's not private property. And as a public thoroughfare, there was no vote on whether or not they wanted a political message on their sidewalk or on their roadway. So one could say that that was vandalism. So then to say that the person who's painting it over to All Lives Matter is committing vandalism is a total and absolute lie. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is selective enforcement. Now let's look at the words white privilege. They're very, very electrifying words. I am a self-made man, an immigrant son. No inheritance other than hardworking parents, religion, and respect for self and nation. White privilege is an invention of the university communists to divide the nation by race and provoke hatred. It's a fine paragraph. I don't think it can be faulted. If there are any academics listening to this show who can prove to me that I have benefited from white privilege in any way, we're going to leave one open line at 855-407-282. Because most of the people I know made themselves what they are. They don't blame people for their mistakes. If they made a mistake in their life, they take responsibility. If they invested in a business that failed, they don't blame anyone's race for it having failed. I've known people who have failed in life, and they usually blame someone for it. There were people in cafes, for example, that I used to know who thought they were screenwriters. Well, they were not screenwriters. They were writing dreck, garbage. No one wanted what they wrote. They blamed the Jews of Hollywood for their failure. So you understand that many people need a scapegoat for the fact that they're a flop. It has now become institutionalized. We've heard about institutionalized racism, and it does exist amongst those who are talking about institutionalized racism. That's where it exists. You know, they ought to look in the mirror to find out where it exists. Oh, there's so much to talk about. I can play some great sound. Here is a mayor of New York who should be arrested for vandalism, who goes, instead of stopping the shootings in Manhattan and in New York, which are at a peak now, coming up to a high level again, he takes the time to paint Black Lives Matter across from Trump Tower just to spite President Trump. Listen to this loser in clip four.
The president, rather than having a chance to acknowledge America's original sin,
Did you hear what he just said? Did you hear what he said? Do you know how Hitlerian this is? De Blasio says America has an original sin. This is what they said about the Jews. That the Jews killed Jesus. Do you understand how sick this man is and how evil he is to use race like this at a time like this to turn blacks against whites? Play it again, clip four. This is the mayor of New York City.
The president, rather than having a chance to acknowledge America's original sin, he literally made it worse by suggesting that, you know, honoring black people on Fifth Avenue would somehow make it less valuable or luxurious. I got to tell you.
Okay, let's stop. How are you honoring black people by writing on a sidewalk, Black Lives Matter? You mean only Black Lives Matter? What is your point, Mayor de Blasio? Why are you defacing the streets just to provoke Donald Trump and not expecting people to say foul ball? Your city is rotting and dying because you are a racist failure. And you have used race, Mayor de Blasio, to get where you are. And you're still using race to divide people. It is a hellhole. Anyone who can sell their apartment in New York is selling their apartment and bailing out of that city. It's like Escape from New York right now. San Francisco, not too far behind. All the young people in tech who bought themselves a condominium have seen the value of their condominium drop precipitously, not solely because of the COVID economic meltdown, but because of the violence, the crime, the filth in the streets, and the bums in the streets. That's what's really going on, by the way. I had written earlier, I am a self-made man, an immigrant son, no inheritance other than hardworking parents, religion, and respect for self and nation. White privilege is an invention of the university communists to divide the nation by race and provoke hatred. That is a complete paragraph. It's irrefutable. It's irrefutable. My grandfather came here with very little money, whatever he could save up in Russia. He left his grandmother, my grandmother, his wife, behind, and came here, worked for 6 years as a tailor in New York, 7 days a week. He made fine men's suits, by the way. He was not just a cleaning store. He made suits by hand in those days. I never met him. So then he brings over my grandmother, and my father came here at age 6 at the same time. And my grandfather died at 49 of a heart attack from hard work. Then my father had a little store, never got any help from anybody. He was a very proud man. He wouldn't take a dime from anyone. We had a clean house. He worked his way up, one car, clean house. Mother worked very hard to keep the house together, to keep the children clean and to go to school. That's an inheritance unto itself, you understand. Hardworking parents, parents who respect the law, parents who respect God, parents who respect their nation. That's about the greatest inheritance you can have. Do you know that? Because if you look at people in Nancy Pelosi's San Francisco, it's a very sad story, nothing to gloat about. Most of the children of the rich on Pacific Heights are emotional, physical, and financial wrecks. So they inherited money. Their parents did not teach them any values. The parents were themselves dissipation cases. All they did was throw big parties. They were drunks and drug addicts, by and large, sex maniacs. Huge mansions on Pacific Heights. The children wound up junkies and losers, never did a thing in their lives. So you could argue that the greatest privilege you could have is that of a mother or a father, or if you're lucky today, a mother and a father who teach you values. And the number one value is, I think, hard work and self-respect. If they then add respect for the nation, you really have a plus. Then if you're lucky enough to have gone to a church or a synagogue where you're taught some values, you're really in luck, aren't you? But can you call that privilege? I don't know that you could call that privilege. I'd call it something else. So I've been getting a lot of response to it from people like yourselves who listen to the show, who know that this attack upon white people is it's a desire to destroy the country completely. Any politician who engages in it should be called out for the racist he is, and that includes Joe Biden. We've been saving tapes of the early Joe Biden from early 2020, when Joe Biden was running anti-white speeches. Biden was told by the idiots who were running his campaign, attack white males constantly. So the dunce was saying, white privilege, white privilege, white privilege, white privilege, racism, privilege. Then all of a sudden, Duncey Joe stopped it. Now Duncey Joe is singing a different tune. Of course, the Trump campaign doesn't have people smart enough to understand how to defeat him. They are really incompetent. All they're good at is raising money, which doesn't take a lot of intelligence to raise money in this country right now, because people are terrified and desperate, and they're throwing money at the two candidates like there's no tomorrow. But we will play the Joe Biden tapes when the time comes, around the time of September after Labor Day. And yes, I will tell you, my book will be out in September, September 15th, and it's all called Our Fight for America by Michael Savage. The war continues. It's about America being torn apart with a public health disaster, a corona response that was politicized, a wrongful death exploited by the radical left, and how real science has been destroyed by both parties. I talk about a crippled America and my plan to preserve freedom and the truth in this time of desperation. It's not an easy battle, but it's one that we the people have to fight, or we'll have nothing left to fight for. You know, it's been said in every election, it's the most important election in history. Well, actually, each one of them has been the most important election in history. That election of Obama was the turning point in American history. When we elected a naked Marxist who had been raised in a church of hate by Reverend Wright. Remember Reverend Wright's church? Not God bless America, but God damn America. Do you remember that? How they tried to suppress that tape? The Obama sat in that church for 20 straight years hearing God hate America, anti-white rhetoric, and they said nothing. They never left the church. They only left the church after he decided to run for the presidency. It wasn't God bless America, but God damn America. That's what Reverend Wright said. So this institutionalized racism does exist. Unfortunately, it's not on the side that you are being told it's on. There is very deep institutionalized racism being preached. And it's really time for us to recognize what is being done and to just rationally dismember it. And that's what I'm trying to do here, is that, you know, they say that the pen is mightier than the sword. How was that put? That was a long time ago. People wrote, the pen is mightier than the sword. We can defeat them through ideas. We can defeat them because most of them are very, very low IQ people. I look at them on the left. The ones that are really running it, you don't see. They're the highly educated communists in the universities. They're invisible. But the spokespeople for these radical leftist organizations that are tearing the country apart are really stupid, low IQ, no education, illiterate, and you can take them apart through words. Remember, words have power. A man can be condemned by words. A man can be saved by words. It's been true going back to biblical times, probably pre-biblical times, in tribal times. A man's life could be saved by words, or a man's life could be taken by words, whether it were in an African village, in some kind of tribunal before a prince or a king, or in America today. Words are immensely powerful. And remember, there is a saying that you may not have heard that I learned a long time ago. It's a very interesting saying. If anyone listening to this show knows who wrote this, I'd appreciate hearing from you, whether by calling the show or by tweeting us. To the Hebrew, the word is the deed. I don't know who wrote that, but that was about the power of the word to Jewish people, because it was the Jewish people who brought the word of the Lord to the human race. You do know that, don't you? Now, of course, you haven't seen what's coming yet. I see beyond the horizon, and the next level of attacks will be aimed at Moses himself. They will now go after Moses, calling him a white racist. They will go after Abraham, the father of the three great monotheistic religions, and call him a racist, sexist, and a homophobe. They're already doing it in the universities. The vermin on the left already working on it. But soon it will hit the mainstream, and they will start saying, take down statues of Moses and of Abraham. And then while you're at it, start taking down the synagogues, because they preach the Old Testament. Can't have the Old Testament. It's a racist, sexist, homophobic Bible, isn't it? So next they will start taking down the synagogues in the name of justice, peace, and eliminating homophobia. If you think it can't happen here, you're a lunatic. It is happening here. First they came for Columbus, and then they came for Moses. And when you didn't raise your voice for Columbus, who's going to raise the voice for Moses? Huh? Anyway, it's just one of those things. You know what I'm saying?
The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
Why was Congress wasting its time with hearings on reparations for African Americans? 98% of Americans oppose reparations, including educated black people, for 1,000 reasons, which I've covered on this show many times. Many times. There is not a single African American in this country who is or has been a slave. However, there are numerous Caucasian people who have suffered directly from the Civil War as a result of the Civil War, where the slaves were freed. So if you want to talk about reparations, let's start with the descendants of Eddie, who lost their grand, and the family went into destitution as a result of Lincoln's Civil War. Why is Congress having hearings on reparations for African Americans when we have far bigger immediate problems in America, such as the flood of illegal aliens,
destroying our social service networks, wrecking our schools and hospitals, and we're sitting here talking about reparations from the Civil War era? And listen to some of the idiots who spoke on this. Danny Glover, the great Nobel Prize winning thinker, Danny Glover, spoke on reparations. Well, you know, a while ago I covered this on February 22nd, 2019. I wrote, let me be very clear. I am an immigrant son. I have never taken a nickel from a slave. My family has never profited from slavery. Blacks did not build anything that my family profited from ever. Now, there are some rich white families who have profited from slavery. And if people have grievances, that's who they should go to. There are corporations who may have initially profited from slavery. That's who they should go to. The King of Spain profited greatly from slavery. The Arabian kings profited greatly from slavery. But I, as an American, an immigrant son, never kept a slave, never benefited from slavery. One of the biggest lies ever promulgated by the black revisionist historians, it's an absolute lie to say that black slavery built America. That's like saying the Chinese who were conscripted to build a railroad built California. Well, they didn't build California. They built the railroad tracks. Moreover, you never hear the Chinese screaming for reparations. When have you last heard the Chinese screaming that someone owes them something? If it is true that their antecedents were virtual slaves building the railroads in California, how is that the Chinese have done so well in America? Two generations later, you don't hear the Chinese screaming that anybody owes them anything. If you really want to get into this, I would say that I am owed reparations for what I've paid. What I've paid, personally. I am so sick and tired of this discussion that I'm going to fight back. I have had jobs stolen from me as a result of affirmative action. I have paid criminal levels of taxation to support people on the bottom who don't work, and to support police and jails and God knows what for people who don't work. I'm sick of it, and I'm sure I'm not the only person sick of this reparations talk. So I'm going to tell you right now, since the left is going to make race very important, I'm ready for the fight. I'm not going to sit here and roll over and be afraid of you calling me names because I can give it back to you as good as I get it. And let me tell you something else. The balance sheet is not complete. You owe me money. I don't owe you anything. I've had my birthright stolen because of people who are far less qualified than I. I've had my pockets picked to support people who are not as productive as I am, and I am sick of it. And I'm never going to pay reparations. How about you? For the Democrats to keep pandering to African Americans by going to the lowest possible level is something we've come to expect from them, has it not? But does it really do the nation and African Americans any good to make such claims? Does it not incite hatred between the races? Does it not make poor white people fume inside when they hear crap like this? Whites working three jobs, they have to listen to this garbage? Now let's listen to a man who would be president. I do not think he's capable of being the president of the local ASPCA. In fact, I would vote against that. The dogs would probably die under his watch. Here's Cory Booker, known as Spartacus. Listen to this in 09.
And I feel a sense of anger where we are in the United States of America, where we have not had direct conversations about a lot of the root causes of the inequities and the pain and the hurt manifested in economic disparities, manifested in health disparities, manifested in a criminal justice.
You're really suffering. You really look poor and weak. Okay, you know, you're so full of hot air, it's hard to even imagine how the idiots of New Jersey made you governor. But it got even better. Here's Danny Glover, known for his genius, again speaking in favor of reparations. He's really suffered, hasn't he? A fifth-rate thespian. He's done better than he normally would have done. Listen to him now in 10.
I close, with the insightful and still relevant words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968. And I quote,
Stop quoting him. Tell us what you think, Danny. Then, of course, it wouldn't be complete if I didn't play the dimmest light bulb in the history of the American media. I told you this many times, and I'll have to repeat it again. If you go into a light bulb store or a rack at Home Depot for light bulbs, you got 100 watts, 60 watts, maybe a 40. You got 20 lamp watt bulbs. And then there are small bulbs for the back of refrigerators and ovens called utility light bulbs. They're about 5 watts. That would be Don Lemon on CNN. He's about a utility bulb level of intelligence. Here he is in clip 11.
Think about Hitler. Think about any of those people. Would you say that that person is allowed, or let's put it this way. If you could look back on...
Go.
Say, well,
why would the teacher throw him out of the classroom?
I'm so glad that person...
Stop. Get him out of my classroom. Throw him out. Send him back three grades, would you please? Put him back to the third grade. But okay, that's the world we're living in. You're telling me he's not there because they wanted to show that they were fair and equal? He's there because of his genius? There are other people owed reparations, which I've talked about. The Chinese who built the railroads, they're not asking for it. Instead, they just worked hard and moved ahead in society. They didn't bellyache for the next seven generations. The Irish were treated worse than dogs when they came over. Did you know that? Italians were spit upon and called every name under the sun. How come they don't ask for reparations? Want me to go on? Reparations to African Americans have already been paid. Since the passage of the Civil Rights Acts and the advent of the Great Society in 1965, trillions of dollars in transfer payments have been made to African Americans in the form of welfare benefits and racial preferences. Racial preferences in contracts and job placements and educational admissions. Those are all reparations that have been paid for the last 40 years, all under the rationale of redressing historic racial grievances. Now, it is said that further reparations are necessary to achieve a healing between African Americans and other Americans. If trillion-dollar restitutions and a wholesale rewriting of American law in order to accommodate racial preferences for African Americans is not enough to achieve a healing, tell me what will. The answer is nothing. It's a racket, it's a shakedown, and it is un-American. Secondly, it turns African Americans into victims. It sends a damaging message to the African American community. No evidence-based attempt has been made to prove that living individuals have been adversely affected by a slave system that was ended over 150 years ago. However, there is plenty of evidence that the hardships that occurred were hardships that individuals could and did overcome. The black middle class in America today is a prosperous community that is now larger in absolute terms than the black underclass. Does its existence not suggest that economic adversity is the result of failures of individual character rather than the lingering after effects of racial discrimination and a slave system that ceased to exist well over a century ago? Example, West Indian blacks in America are also descended from slaves, but their average incomes are equivalent to the average income of whites and nearly 25% higher than the average incomes of American-born blacks. How is it that slavery adversely affected one large group of descendants but not the other? How can government be expected to decide an issue that is so subjective and yet so critical to the case itself? Again, I will reiterate that if you want to make reparations for slavery, well, begin with the Arabian kings who profited greatly as slave traders. Then go to the king of Spain and his descendants who profited greatly from slavery. And then go to all of the 3,000 black slave owner families who still exist. Did you know that black Africans and Arabs were responsible for enslaving the ancestors of African Americans? Did you know that? Did you know there were 3,000 black slave owners, in the antebellum United States? Are reparations to be paid by their descendants as well? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. So if you want to open up this can of worms, get ready to be devoured by them, because I will make them devour you with rational thought.
Home of borders, language, culture, the Savage Nation.
This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about the idiocy of the Democrats, who will become the party of anti-Semitism and now the party of pandering to stupidity of the highest level. It wasn't bad enough that they persecuted Trump for two straight years with the false narrative of collusion with Russia. That's over with. So now they're jumping into religious bigotry. Now they're pandering to African-Americans, which is an insult, by the way, to every African-American who's made it on their own. I'll tell you, I'd be very uncomfortable. It's hard for me to say that because I know I'm not supposed to think how another person would feel if I'm not them. I find that rubbish. I mean, one of the great aspects of a human being is empathy. I can empathize with people. If I walk through Chinatown and I see a poor person still struggling in a little store, I empathize with that poor Chinese person, even though I'm not Chinese, because I remember my grandfather's struggles. And I see my grandfather in the Chinese store. Do you understand what empathy is? So I can empathize with African Americans and what they have suffered generations ago. And it does leave scars. Don't get me wrong. It does leave scars on a collective consciousness level, something that the geniuses haven't used yet. I shouldn't have thrown it out there. You'll hear it tomorrow on CNN. In the collective consciousness, there is a suffering. However, it doesn't cripple a person. It often makes you stronger, by the way. It's the same with Jews in the Holocaust. Never, if you are of Jewish descent, sit and complain and complain and complain about what was done to Jews by the Nazis. Remember it, but don't make yourself a victim, because by doing so, you're doing three things wrong. One, you are imprisoning yourself in victimhood. That's a big one. If you walk around with a chip on your shoulder talking about the Holocaust, you are making yourself a lifetime prisoner. Number two, it dismisses all of the values of the beauty of the Jewish religion. That is not the defining moment of Judaism. By doing that, you've destroyed the religion itself. The religion stands aside from the anomalies of persecution. Do you understand that one? I'm not a rabbi. I'm Michael Savage. Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed and learned something from it. And I want to remind you of something that I think is important for you to know. We have over 280 Savage Nation podcast episodes available to you absolutely free. I'll say that again. You can go back into this vast library of over 280 episodes and listen to any one of them or several of them at your leisure. So you never have to be without the Savage Nation. Thank you very much for listening.